If you are battle-weary, we offer some hope this hour.
I have people in my church that are hanging on by a thread, making it through another day. That's victory, surviving the day. And I would venture to say that there are some here today that are hanging on by a thread. And the Lord knows. And I want to encourage you, hang on. Not much longer. Not much longer.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Our media team is taking a break this week, so we would like to present one of our conference messages given by Pastor J.D. Farag. He offers hope for the battle-weary, and we suspect that is you. Current events and conflicts can cause us to become discouraged and even sink into despair, so we hope this hour will be uplifting. Here is Jan Markell.
Say, after an intense spring and summer recording schedule, actually covering the incredible turmoil of our times, I'm actually taking a weekend off, so I'm replaying Pastor J.D. Farag's conference message from last fall, as I hear from many of you who need encouragement. And that is what J.D. Farag did at my conference exactly a year ago in a rather timeless message. So let's get into today's programming with Pastor J.D. Farag from Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii. Here's Pastor J.D.
Do you like my shirt? It's my color, yeah. I'm an autumn, so. The first year, 3 years ago, when Jan asked me to speak, I wore a suit and tie, and I still haven't heard the end of that. So last year, when Jan invited me back, I thought, okay, I'm going to wear an aloha shirt, but I put on a sport coat. In Hawaii, we call that aloha crisp. I thought, you know, that still wasn't good enough. So I just figured that's it. I'm going to just wear the shirt. So if Jan, well, actually she can't invite me to speak next year because I don't have anything to wear. So last year I told my church that I'm so privileged to pastor that I would not accept any speaking invitations so that I would focus on the congregation there. And then I had to qualify it. I said, except Jan. Yeah. I'll tell you why. It's like you, Jack. I can't say no to Jan. So here I am. It is such an honor to be asked to speak at Jan's conference, and I'm just thrilled to be here with you again this year. You know, I spent a considerable amount of time really seeking the Lord and spent a lot of time in prayer and fasting as to what it is that the Lord would have me to talk about this year. And I want to do something a little bit different. And it really came from the Lord about a month ago when I just had a breakdown. Someone asked me, did you have a nervous breakdown? I don't know. A meltdown, maybe. All I know is I just broke down. And I was just heartbroken. And the Lord just ministered to me something that changed everything. My whole outlook on everything. And I want to share that with you today. And I hope it'll be an encouragement for you today. I have to confess, and I sometimes can be rightly accused of being too open and candid. Sometimes it makes people uncomfortable, but I have to confess that I came to this place where I felt like I just couldn't go on. And I just cried out to the Lord, and I was just so honest with the Lord that I'm just weary. I'm battle weary. Over the last couple of years, I have gone through some really hard stuff with people that I love with all of my heart in the church that I'm privileged to pastor. I mean, dealing with tough stuff. Wayward daughters, prodigal sons, cancer diagnosis, drug addiction, mental illness. I mean, just tough stuff. And here I get up every Sunday and I talk about the Lord's coming back. And for them, the Lord can't come back soon enough. Many believers today are going through very painful and difficult trials. In this, the last hour, the last moment of human history as we know it. And here's what the Lord ministered to me. It must be so. These things must come to pass that the end might come. Yeah, but Lord, it's so hard. I'm doing more memorial services than I've ever done. I am crying more than I've ever, and I'm a crier, man. I don't care. Jesus cried. Hey, the Apostle Paul in Acts 20, right? I don't know what your picture of the Apostle Paul is in your mind. This is Apostle Paul we're talking about, right? Fearless. Unflinching fearlessness. He cried like a man. So I make no apologies. Sometimes I think I carry things too hard. But my heart is broken when I see the condition of the church of Jesus Christ today. And it's heartbreaking to me when I receive from so many people, so many emails, so many comments that get posted on social media. We had a prayer meeting 3 weeks ago. We uploaded it to YouTube. I mentioned it during a prophecy update, and I said, we're going to have a prayer meeting on Tuesday night, and we need to pray. And I had no idea how many people would send in their prayer requests. So that night, it was packed. It was packed. Very encouraging. And nobody wanted to leave. For those of you who watched that prayer meeting that we uploaded to YouTube, you only saw the first half hour. We were there for another hour after that, and we were crying out to God. Here's what the Lord ministered to me. And it's my message that I want to share with you, and it's a message of hope for the battle weary. The condition of the church today is what we're told the condition of the church would be at the time of the rapture. In other words, when Jesus comes, when the trumpet sounds, he comes for a battle-weary church. That's what I see in the scriptures. The description, the prophetic description of the church at the time of the end, I would argue, is the condition of the church today. You know what that means? He's coming. He's coming. No. As As I cried out to the Lord, Lord, there's so much pain and there's so much suffering. Please come quickly. What he ministered to me was, I'm coming. You just need to hang on. The church at the time of the rapture is a church that is hanging on and pressing on with what little strength they have left. I have people in my church that are hanging on by a thread, making it through another day. That's victory, surviving the day. And I would venture to say that there are some here today that are hanging on by a thread. And the Lord knows. And I want to encourage you. Hang on. Not much longer. Not much longer. One of my favorite books of the Bible, along with all the other books of the Bible, is the book of Revelation. I love the book of Revelation. I've taught through it 4 times. And in chapters 2 and 3, we have 7 letters. These were physical, literal letters that Jesus had John write to 7 literal churches in Asia Minor. We know it today as modern-day Turkey. And one of those churches is the Church of Philadelphia. And I want you to listen to what Jesus has John write to this particular church, for which there is no rebuke. There were only 2 of the 7 churches that Jesus did not rebuke. Sardis was the other one. Pardon me, Smyrna. The Church of Smyrna. The Church of Philadelphia. He has John write this letter to the angel of the Church of Philadelphia. You know who the angel of the Church of Philadelphia was? The pastor. No, I'm for real. Anyway. In verse 8, he commends them. He says, I know that you have little strength. I know that you're just hanging on. Yet, you have kept my word. The implication being, there are those who did not keep my word, did not preach the word, but you did. And you have not denied my name. Implication being that there are those who have denied and are denying the name of Jesus, the only name given among men whereby we must be saved.
If you join me late, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell here. I'm actually replaying a conference message from a year ago, Pastor J.D. Farag, because his message here is timeless, and I think it will encourage the remnant flock. Let's continue on with Pastor J.D. Farag.
He goes on in verse 10, and he says, since you have kept my command, to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. That's the 7-year tribulation. And then he says this, listen to this, oh my goodness. He says, I am coming soon. And you know what that word is in the original language for soon? Some translations translate it quickly. It's the Greek word tachos, where we get our English word for tachometer in the car. It's a measurement, a set time, 1 minute. but it's a measurement, a gauge of revolutions per minute, RPMs. You know what Jesus is saying? I know you're just hanging on. I know that you're enduring patiently great trials. I know that your strength is little. But I'm coming at a time when things will be revving up. Hello? Are you kidding me? And then he says, hold on to what you have. Hold on. So that no one will take your crown. You know what crown I think he's referring to here? It's the crown that Jack just talked about in Paul's second letter to Timothy. It's the crown of righteousness for those of us who long for, ache for, love, watch, eagerly await for his, can't wait for his coming. I want to ask you a question. Do you agree with this? Isn't it true that when things are really hard down here, we want to go up there? Let me flip that around. Conversely, when things are going really good, and you might be here today, and you know what? Praise the Lord. You're not going through a trial. You're at the top of your game. I mean, God is blessing you, and life is good right now. Enjoy it. No, that's... I'm sorry. I don't mean to be mean, but... No, that's what actually Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 7:14. He says, during times of prosperity, enjoy! Enjoy it while it lasts. But when adversity strikes, oh, I wish it didn't say it like that. I wish it said, if, by chance, no. When adversity strikes, because adversity will strike, stop and consider. And here's why. Because God allows, brings alongside both the adversity with the prosperity, and we're told why. So that man can discover nothing about his future. In other words, adversity comes with prosperity so that we will always be dependent upon and look to the Lord. Isn't it true that when trials come, it has the much needed effect of drawing us closer to the Lord? Oh, now I have your attention. I can almost hear, I know I'll just speak for myself. Again, just be very candid and very open with you. That's what the Lord has to do in my life. When the pain and the suffering comes, when the trials hit, when adversity strikes. Because see, JD, you get so busy, and I miss that intimacy with you. I miss those times that we had together. So this was the only way I could get your attention. And I'll tell you, it's at the place now, I'm at the place in my walk with the Lord where I've loosened my grip on this world and the things of this world. And I'm not talking about, I mean, I'm talking about noble things. I'm talking about even loosening my grip on the church that I'm privileged to pastor, that I love so much, my family. Loosening my grip on those things. That's what I'm talking about. Because it's like the Lord is saying, I need to ready you and steady you because I'm coming. And when adversity strikes, that's when you look up. That's when you lift up your head and know your redemption draws nigh. Perhaps you've heard it said, when the outlook doesn't look good, try the uplook. No. He ends this letter the same way he ends all seven letters. And it's very interesting. He says, whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Well, that's interesting. Whoever has ears, I have two of them. So do you. You know what's interesting? God didn't give us ear lids. I know that's weird, but that's how my mind is. They have clinical terms for that condition, but we have eyelids. We don't have ear lids. Isn't that interesting? Whoever has ears, I got two of them, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's the problem. What do you mean? Well, the problem is that of not having ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church. Rather, it's having itching ears to hear what people want to hear at a church. So when I have this meltdown, breakdown, whatever you want to call it, down, and I'm crying out to the Lord, and I'm just like, Lord, look what's happening in the church today. And the Lord ministered to me that this is a fulfillment of prophecy. This is what has to happen. And it's happening. Yeah, but Lord, as I'm complaining, pastors, we don't use the word complaining. We use the word lamenting. It's very spiritual. It sounds so much better. So as I'm lamenting, Lord, but they're not preaching the word. Forget Bible prophecy. They're not even preaching the word. No wonder the church is in the condition that it's in today. And what are people going to do when life hits? And life hits. The death of a child. And there's a person in that church, and the pastor is behind that pulpit talking nonsense. Lord, do something. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm sorry if I'm raising my voice. No, I'm not. I'm actually not sorry. As someone told me earlier, I love it when you yell. I said, I love you. It is a custom in my country. Growing up, no, for real. Growing up, my parents spoke Arabic in the house. And Arabic's a really rough language. You know, it's like, marhaba and kif halak. And I mean, you know, unlike French. French is so smooth. You know, voulez-vous avoir? Oh, thank you so much. I mean, you could curse somebody to their face in French and they would thank you. Not Arabic. I remember as a young boy asking my mom, why are you and dad always yelling at each other? She says, oh, Habibi, no, this is how we talk. So that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. So listen to what Paul writes to Timothy in his second epistle. The fourth chapter, beginning at verse 1, he says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. You ready? Wait for it. Here it comes. Preach the word! You know, we have the easiest and best job description ever. Right, Jack? It's really one preach the word. That's our job description. Yeah. Preach the word. That's it. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Oh, and then it gets better. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. Oh, stop right there. I'm not going to put up with that. Because there's a church down the street that gives away free iPads. I'm not kidding. I wish I was. Rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And here's why. For the time will come, dare I say, that time has come, when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, you know what they're going to do? To suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear.
You're listening to a message from Understanding the Times conference just about a year ago now. Pastor J.D. Farag, Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii. Be sure to catch his weekly prophecy updates presented online. They appear every Sunday afternoon, and I'll have Pastor Farag back on air with me with an updated conversation sometime this fall. More in a moment. Don't go away.
We always like to hear from our listening audience and also how you listen. If you're listening on one of our 900 radio stations, let us know which one. Or let us know if you are listening to one of our online options. Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. We are pleased to offer a new book by two author favorites, Dr. Ed Heinsohn and the late Dr. Tim LaHaye, the popular Encyclopedia of Bible Prophecy. It examines over 150 topics concerning eschatology. Find clarity as it concerns thousands of facts about Christ's return in the last days from two respected authorities. You will find detailed definitions of prophecy-related terms, a helpful timetable of last days events, thorough summaries of all the major prophetic viewpoints, and vital understanding of the key players of the last days. You will find wisdom and insight every time you reach for this A to Z encyclopedia to find biblical answers to your toughest prophecy questions. Find the popular Encyclopedia of Bible Prophecy in our online store at olivetreeviews.org, that's olivetreeviews.org, or call our office Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. It is also found in our print and e-newsletter.
At the time of the end, prior to the trumpet sound and the dead in Christ rising first, and we who are alive and remain being caught up, there's going to be an increase in mocking and scoffing and ridiculing you and me too.
We know you lead very busy lives, so if you miss a radio program, listen to one of our electronic options. Two options are very visual: our YouTube channel under Jan Markell, and our programming posted to his channel, hischannel.com. You can just stream the program at our website, olivetreeviews.org, that's olivetreeviews.org, or at oneplace.com. We tap into the oneplace.com mobile app. Here is Jan Markell.
Let's return now to Pastor J.D. Farag from last year's Understanding the Times conference in a timeless message, quite frankly, on coping in our rather tumultuous times, and I hear from so many who are struggling with today's issues, trials, and disheartening news headlines, that I chose to give my media team a break this week and replay JD's wonderful message from last year's conference as we all try to hang on while the world spins sort of out of control. Let's get back to JD Farag, Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii.
They will turn their ears away from the truth. That's deliberate. And turn aside to myths. It was almost like the Lord was saying to me, why are you so shocked? Why are you so upset? Why are you still yelling? I mean, I told you that this would be the condition of the church at the time of the end. That's why. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to calm down just for my blood pressure, if for no other reason. No, I actually have one of those, you know, you can take your blood pressure. My blood pressure goes up before I take it because I'm going to be taking my blood pressure and I'm nervous that it's... Anyway, whatever. So here's the second fulfillment of prophecy, and it's already been referred to here today, that the Lord ministered to me as if to say, just calm down. I think of Isaiah in the year that King Uzziah died, and he was a good king, one of only nine, by the way. And here, now he dies, and everybody's like, what are we going to do? How unsettling is this? How uncertain now is the future for us? And then Isaiah looks up, and what does he see? He sees the Lord seated on the throne. And he's not biting his nails. When did Uzziah die? Gabriel, Michael, get over here. What in the world? When did this happen? How disconcerting would that be? He's not pacing back and forth in front of the throne. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? No, he's seated on the throne. Yeah, but Lord, this is happening. I know. Yeah, but Lord, I'm coming. And I told you that this would happen at the time of the end. It just means that I'm coming. So I'm an extreme personality. Again, I know they have clinical terms for this. My wife, you got to love the wife, you know, because she can say it as only a wife can, right? My wife and I have been married for 31 years this year. By the grace of God, I'll tell you. Hey, that woman has treasures in heaven. But she tells me that I have the gift of complication. I'm like looking around. That's not a gift, honey. I'm sorry. That's not listed here, a gift. But I... it's like, Lord, what am I going to do? You're doing it. Just keep doing it. So the Apostle Peter writing, chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, and this is what I mean by an extreme personality. I've gone to the opposite extreme now. So it's almost like I want this to happen now because that means the Lord's coming. Remember a couple years ago when in Hawaii we had a false alarm? Oh, you remember that? I was there! Yeah! Hey, we have some people from Hawaii here. You were there too. I have to confess. See, I have people in the church. I'm texting them. I'm going, do you know anything about this? Because we just all got this alerts on our, devices. This is not a drill. A nuclear missile has been fired from North Korea and it's going to hit Hawaii. Aloha. So I call this guy in my church, and he says, it's a false alarm. I knew that after 8 minutes. It took about, I forget how many, in fact, anyway, that's a whole nother. I have a movie producer in my church. They're actually making a movie about that incident. But I have to confess that when I found out it was a false alarm, I was a little bit disappointed. Is that bad? It's like, oh. Because I was ready. I mean, my whole family were there. It was kind of like, all right. Bring it. Pray for me, because I know that, again, that's... I share that to say this. When Peter writes about this, I'm like, I want this to happen. What do you want to happen? Oh, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. And they will say, where is the coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. You know what Peter's saying? That at the time of the end, prior to the trumpet sound and the dead in Christ rising first, and we who are alive and remain being caught up, there's going to be an increase in mocking and scoffing and ridiculing you and me too. So every time somebody gives me a hard time, I'm like, oh yeah, come on man, let's do this. You're fulfilling prophecy. Can you? Sorry, this is a, oh, that's a note from my wife. Yeah, it says, don't talk long. Okay, so I'm going to bring it in for a landing. I know that Arabs should not use airplane. I was, last year, I remember when I called you or texted you, I think, I said, I wanted to know if I was going to be on the same flight, you know, here with Jack. And he said, no, I'm on a, you know, different flight. And then I thought, well, actually, maybe that's a good thing, because can you imagine? I see Jack, we're on the same flight, and I'm an Arab, and I say, hi, Jack! And yeah, that's it. Okay, I just got the... Okay, calm down. Just calm down, because I've only got like 9 minutes left. And I am going to actually bring it in for a landing. I just got to find the runway first. The year was 2006. And I just had this sense from the Lord. It was right after our daughter Noelle died. And I just had this sense from the Lord that we were entering into a period of human history that was the likes of which we had never seen before, nor would we ever see again. And it actually started in 2001 after 9/11, when my wife had given me a word of knowledge. It was a prophetic word. She said, honey, I believe that God is going to use your ethnicity as an Arab in a mighty and profound way, as only he can. And I was, you know, being the godly husband that I am, I was like dismissive of it, you know, like, okay, well, whatever. Anyway. That's why she has treasures in heaven, by the way. That was 2001. What I didn't know was 2 years later in 2003, we would move to Hawaii to to start the church that I now have the privilege of being the pastor of. You know, it's a hard calling, but somebody's got to do it. You know, it's like, Lord, here am I, send me. So he did. I will say, though, the Hawaii you vacation in is not the Hawaii that I minister in. So what the Lord impressed upon my heart was to start doing these weekly Bible prophecy updates. That was in 2006, 13 years ago. Every week. And they started off, it was just like a quick 10-minute, you know, after the teaching, you know, because I teach through the Bible. I just thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just do a quick, like, famous last words, quick 10-minute prophecy update and just talk about what's happening in the world today and connect the dots with Scripture. And then one of the guys in our audio video ministry came up to me and said, hey, Pastor JD, would it be okay with you if I uploaded one of your updates to YouTube? We'll start a YouTube channel and I'll upload the... I'm like, yeah, sure, go ahead. You know, we'll probably have like 8 views and 5 will be my family. What I didn't know at the time was that was a fulfillment of the word that my wife had spoken to me in 2001. And if God can speak through a donkey, I'm serious. He can speak through an Arab donkey too. God chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Who knew? God knew. The reason I mention that is because since 2006, I'm sitting here looking at my brothers from other mothers. And if someone would have come to you, Amir, or come to you, Jack, in 2006 and told you that we'd be talking about the things that we're talking about today, would you have believed it? I mean, oh my goodness.
If you join me late, you are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell here. Because I needed a break this time of year, I am playing a message from Understanding the Times 2019. It's Pastor J.D. Farag. Very encouraging message from exactly 1 year ago. Let's have Pastor J.D. wrap it up.
You know this election in Israel? The Lord is seated on the throne. It's perfect. Yeah, but Lord, Netanyahu! Who was it that said, I hope that doesn't happen to you? Was that you, Amir? Thanks a lot for that, if that was you. Hope that doesn't happen to you next year. Thanks a lot, my Jewish brother. You'll forgive me, but bring it. Because you know what that means? The Lord's coming. Syria, Isaiah 17:1. We're like that close. Ezekiel 38, who would have ever imagined when we were in Israel last year, we had former ambassador to the United Nations, Ron Prosor, speak to our group. And he made this stunning statement about how that now it's just out in the open, our relationship with the Arab world, speaking specifically of Saudi Arabia. He's talking about verse 13 of Ezekiel 38. A year ago, we couldn't have talked about that like we can today. Even 1 year ago, we could not have talked about Iran, Russia, Turkey, et al., all at the ready to invade Israel as we can today. You take the condition of the church, we were told it would be this way. You take the situation in the Middle East, we were told it would be this way. You take the situation in America, we were told it would be this way. I can just keep going and going and going, and you know that I can. I won't. Don't look at your watches. Those who have ears to hear, you know what we're going to hear? Hold on. You've not denied my name. You've kept my word. I'm coming soon. I'm coming quickly. You just hang on. Do not lose hope. Do not give up. I'm coming. If you'll just give me 2 more minutes. What are you going to say? No? 2 years ago, the Lord again impressed upon my heart the urgency of sharing the gospel at the end of every prophecy update and the childlike explanation of salvation by way of the ABCs of salvation, which I've been doing every single week for the last 2 years, and people from all over the world are emailing in saying that they're getting saved, they're winning people to the Lord, people are getting saved. Maybe you're here today because a friend drug you here. I don't mean they gave you drugs to get you here. I hope they didn't do that. That'd be terrible. But maybe they brought you here, or maybe you're watching this by way of live streaming. And the Lord kind of got your attention. I want to close with a simple explanation of what the gospel is and then how to be saved. And if you're here today and you have never called upon the name of the Lord, first of all, my goodness, what in the world? When you see everything that's happening, why would you want to delay making the most important decision of your life for eternal life? What is the gospel? The word gospel just simply means good news. Your debt has been paid. You're free. That's what the word gospel means. Wait. What debt? Oh, you didn't hear? Yeah. You've been sentenced to death. What? Yeah. You've been sentenced to death because of sin. And Jesus, the Christ, walked into the courtroom of eternity, and as you were being sentenced and about to have the sentence carried out, he said, "Stop!" to the judge of the universe, "Hold everything. I will die for him. I will die for her. In his place, in her place." And the judge just looks at you and says, "Dude," well, I don't know who they do, but good news. Really good news. You're free to go. That's what the gospel is. The gospel is that Jesus came, he was crucified, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day, and he's coming back again one day soon, and very soon. I believe sooner than any of us can imagine. That's the good news. How can I be saved? It's very simple. Jesus said you must become like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. It is childlike simple. I mean in no way to insult anyone's intelligence. I can say that 37 years ago when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, it had to be simple because the drugs and the alcohol and my lifestyle had destroyed my brain cells. And it had to be childlike simple. Otherwise, I would have never been able to come to Christ and get saved. Could you imagine if to get saved you had to know quantum physics? Shoot me now, because I have no hope. It's ABC simple. The A is for acknowledge or admit that you're a sinner, that you need the Savior. This is repentance. This is a change of mind, a turning from your sin, an acknowledging of your sin, and a turning to the Savior for forgiveness of sin. Romans 3:10 says, there is no one righteous, not even one. Romans 3:23, it's even worse. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23, I like Romans 6:23 because it packages first the bad news, then the good news. The bad news, the wages of sin is death. That's the death penalty that we've all been sentenced to because all have sinned. We were all born sinners, which is why we must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the gospel, the good news. Here's the B. It's for believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that Jesus rose from the dead. This is Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Not you might, not you could, not you should, not you might. No, you will be saved. And then the C, lastly, is for call upon the name of the Lord. Or as Romans 10, 9 and 10 also says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And here's why. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And oh, by the way, spoiler alert, everyone's going to confess. Oh, yeah. Every tongue is going to confess. Every knee is going to bow. We say it like this in Hawaii. Now, mo beta. Let me try that again. It would be way more better to confess now than when every knee will bow. Here's what seals the deal, Romans 10:13. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Period. That's it. One last thing. For those of you who are here and struggling, going through a very difficult time, and you're one of those that says, man, I tell you, just to get through one day for me, I don't know how much longer I can hold on. I want to assure you on the authority of God's word and promise to you that you will get through whatever it is that you are going through because Jesus promised you he would get you through it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it to the other side. You're in the storm now. It looks like this is how it ends. Thanks for the memory. It's over, man. Now you're going to make it to the other side. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, thank you for hope. We can go quite a while without food. We can go sometime even without water. But we can't go even a few seconds without hope. And I just want to pray for anyone here today that is losing hope, very discouraged, Lord, that you would just encourage and strengthen their hearts and renew their hope. Lord, and for anyone either here in this auditorium or watching by live streaming, that has never called upon you. I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. And Lord, lastly, one last thing. Maranatha. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name.
The world may be out of control, but God is always in control. He holds the whole world in His hands, and most of all, you are engraved in the palms of His hands. This current year has almost been like no other, certainly in recent history. But as I like to say, things are not falling apart. They're all falling into place. I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.
You are the healer. Jesus Redeemer.
We have wanted to encourage you this hour, and we are so thankful for the global outreach of Pastor J.D. Farag. We are in perilous times, and never before has it been so important to practice the exhortation found in Hebrews 10, that of encouraging one another. Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Consult our website on how to text to give. Join us next week as we remind you that everything is falling into place.